All right, we're going to jump into our series real quick. We've got, I think, two more left of these. This series called Running with the Giants. If you're new or watching online today and you haven't seen it, it's a series based off of this idea. The Bible talks about in Hebrews chapter 12 about this cloud of witnesses. In other words, these people who have gone before us that are watching us run this race of life. And the idea is, what if one of those kids, what if one of those heroes could come down and could run a lap with us? What advice would they give us? They're watching us run this race, and it says in the second part of this verse, let us take off everything that weights us down. In other words, life's not going to be perfect. There's going to be stuff that's uncomfortable. There's going to be stuff that's difficult. There's going to be stuff that's frankly unfair. I even had that conversation with God yesterday. I got word that a friend of mine that I grew up with, I've known him all my life in Tennessee, a guy that was a great father, a good dad, great kids, great wife, great family, good businessman, community leader, was killed yesterday in a car wreck up in Tennessee. So the Bible never says that life's just going to be all sunshines and Skittles and all happy things. But it does say there's people that are cheering us on. And then the last part of this verse, it says, and run this race with endurance that God set before us. Endurance tells us it's going to take a little pushing, a little striving. It's not going to always be easy. And so I truly believe that those who have gone before us, without getting into the theology of it, can see us. And they're doing what this verse says. They're cheering us on. So who better to ask on Mother's Day than to ask Mary, the mother of Jesus, to come down and give us wisdom, to run a lap of life with us. Unfortunately, some people and religions have made Mary into something, and some traditions have made her into something she's not. Nowhere in the Bible, God never intended Mary, and I think if we could bring Mary here and ask her, she would tell us, that God never intended her to be seen as a deity. Mary is not a god. She was a little girl, a 14-year-old girl, just like anybody that might be sitting in the room or any of our kids. And the truth is, God asked an ordinary girl, and most theologians, most people, Bible scholars believe that she was 14 when the angel came to her and said, you're going to have a baby. Now, that's really young, but in the day and the time, that was not uncommon for girls from 14 to 16 to be getting married. So it wasn't unusual. The Bible tells us that she was engaged to Joseph. She was probably, and I think it's safe to assume, that she had the Bible tells us she was engaged, so she was thinking about wedding dresses and flower colors and locations and, and this is, my mom was a florist, so unfortunately, guys, please don't take my man card. I know what baby's breath is. Does any guy know what baby's breath is? Wow, kudos. Some of y'all get an extra sticker today. For those of you who don't know, like baby's breath, like smell, no, baby's breath is a tiny little bunch of flowers they put in a flower to make you feel like you're getting more than you really are. And, the ladies, you're picking colors and what color the bridesmaid dress is going to wear and what kind of food we're going to eat and all this. That's what Mary's mindset was when her life changed forever. And God asked her to do something, and I think you would agree with me, way outside her comfort zone. We all have them, and you all, every time I talk about who would like to come up here and tell a story, everybody in the room goes, like you sit on your hands, you look down, nobody makes eye contact because the first one to make eye contact is going to get picked to come up here and share, right? That's outside your comfort zone. And I get that. But Mary, I think, could tell us what to do when God asks us to do something that you're not comfortable with. I think she would say it's not a matter of if, but when. See, it's not a matter of if God's going to ask you to do something outside of your comfort zone. It's just a matter of when. He's going to ask you to believe him more than you do yourself, to believe what the Bible says more than what people say. And even if you don't believe it or you don't want it, it's still true. I was telling somebody about this message a few years back. I taught something similar, and somebody said to me, well, what if you don't want it? And the bottom line is, sorry. Doesn't mean God's not going to ask it of you. He still will ask it of you. Even if you don't believe or want it, it's still true. Because God is looking, and this is what I'm going to call it today. God is looking for these God moments. What Mary had when the Bible says that the angel Gabriel came down are these God moments. These moments where you encounter God and you can't deny it was God. I've heard it said many times, and some of you maybe had the experience, you think, something just strange, like a blessing out of the blue, or something happened in your life, and you have that thought, was that God? Well, Mary had a moment that there was no question that it was God. And the Bible's clear that there's these moments that God needs to lean in and get close to us. These moments in life where maybe you need God a little closer. Maybe some of you today for Mother's Day need God to lean in a little closer. Or maybe it's a situation where God leans in a little closer because he's about to ask something of you. And Mary, as a teenager, has one heck of a God moment. You know, we hear it at Christmas and we hear about it all of our lives. But if you really think about what happened, I dare say any of us would be as calm and quiet about it. That Mary probably thought her life was right, again, where it needed to be. And she could have done what I think a lot of us do. That when God speaks or God leans into us, you can do one of a couple things. We ignore him. You just know. You know God's given you, hey, go help that lady at the grocery store. Go pay for that guy's meal. Go mow your neighbor's yard. Go do something. God's given you kind of an unction to go do something, and you just kind of ignore it. And sadly, the Bible teaches us that if you do that enough, there's a verse in the Bible, and I didn't give it to you in your notes, but it compares that to skin that's been cauterized. If you've ever been burned, that skin becomes numb. You can't feel it. And the Bible says you can actually become that way with God, that you become numb to his voice and we just begin to ignore him. Some of us and a lot of people here in the South, and especially in the religious South, that we do what I call stiff arm. And a lot of you, if you watch football, a good running back, a good tailback can run, hold the ball with one arm, and keep somebody at bay with the other arm. That's why they call it a stiff arm. See, a lot of us do that to God. A lot of us look at God and say, well, God, thank you for your son Jesus, but close enough. God, you saved me. I'm not going to hell. Stay where you are. And Mary could have done that. We don't really ponder that Mary could have looked. The Bible talks about the angel Gabriel coming to Mary and looking her in the eye. The Bible, she had full human ability to go, yeah, no, I'm not going to participate in this. It's not me. And a lot of us do that to God. You see, God moments, the reason we do that is because God moments can bother us. Look what the Bible says here in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. The Bible tells us that this God moment, God sent Gabriel, an angel of Nazareth, to Galilee where Mary was. In the next verse, she was a virgin named Mary. She was to be engaged. Remember, she's planning a wedding. And Joseph was the descendant of the king of David. The Bible teaches all through it that Jesus had to come from the line of David. Gabriel appeared and said, greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you. She had a moment, a choice to put God, nope, to turn, to ignore. And the reason we do that is because God moments often seem impossible. You see, the God moments we try to analyze here, when really what God's trying to do is get to here. You see, a lot of us, and I've said this to God before, God, you're just asking way too much. You really want me to do that? God, you really want me to step out and put my faith on the line, put my reputation on the line, and you really want me to do that? You're just asking too much. You see, we want to reduce God to something we can understand. We want to reduce God to this this place in our head that we can figure out. But God moments seem impossible. But here's something that you need to know. Understanding is not required. There's a lot of people, I say, well, I don't understand the Bible yet, so I don't know if I can get saved. I don't understand the Bible yet, so I'm not going to come to church. There is nowhere in the Bible that says that you have to understand it. Let me ask you this. Anybody a math major? You went to college and you were a math major. Good, because you're all like, good. Do you know that if you have $2 and I give you $2, how many dollars do you have? For all of you who graduated from Scriven County, all together now. I was giving somebody a hard time earlier. That's $4. Now, if you don't understand how math works, you don't understand that 2 plus 2 equals 4, does it make 2 plus 2 not equal 4? No. But if I tell you you have money and I'm going to give you money, you don't have to understand how math works to make it work. The Bible says you just have to believe it. And it's the same way, that's how it works with Jesus. The Bible says you just have to believe he is who he says he is. The understanding is not required. Look what God asked of Mary. In the next verse, it says, you'll conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. And then Mary does what everybody in the room would do, probably after you calm down enough because there was an angel standing in your room. And after you calm down and could actually think straight, she does something that all of us would do and says, but how can this happen? Why? Because she could only think and respond in her earthly human terms. She had to think, this angel doesn't know how babies get here. Right? You're not getting it. I've never been with a man. It can't be. Even today with modern science, it didn't exist then. We would still have the same thing. Well, how's this going to happen? You going to do something out of the norm? And the angel said, you're going to conceive, you're going to have a son. And it's not going to be from Joseph. It's going to be from God. Notice Mary didn't say, wow, this is an opportunity for me to have an impact on the rest of the world. Notice she just wants to go, what? How? She says what anybody would ask. How could this happen? Look what the Bible, even Jesus later, goes on to say in Mark chapter 10, says that Jesus looked at them. He's looking at the disciples and says, it's humanly speaking, it's impossible. But with God, I'll figure it out. See, because we don't have to understand it here. I just have to believe it here. Now, does the Bible say that God tells us and will explain stuff to us? Yes, it does. The Bible says you're asking for wisdom, he'll give it to you. The Bible also says when we get to heaven, then we'll see everything clearly. That right now, some stuff just may not make sense. And that's okay. It doesn't change my faith and it shouldn't change your faith at all. See, God does not fit between our ears. God does not fit. Let me say it this way. The same God who can't fit between your ears can fit all of his power and all of who he is in your heart. Have you ever thought about that? And I don't want to, if you tell me, Clint, I figured out God, I can serve God only in my mind, in my mental, he fits in my head, then I don't want to serve that God that can fit between my ears. Because that God has got flaws, that God is too small, and I serve a God that's infinite, that can't fit here. You see, Mary would say when these moments come when God asks you to step out and you don't understand, when the God moments come, just say yes. There are a lot of us that think, no. If anybody's like me, how many of you you want to plan? I was telling some of you guys who were in, we did our step one last week in the growth track, and if you don't know this about me, but when things don't go smoothly, like it mentally wrecks me. Like y'all didn't know that. We didn't just intend to have a frozen frame on the screen during What a Beautiful Name. We had this whole thing planned for a verse to show you, a video to play, and then we're come back in singing, What a Beautiful Name. And y'all were gonna stand up and cheer and scream, you know, like Elvis himself had entered the building. That's what was going to happen. But what happened was the computer went and said, nope, not today. That bothers me. And I was telling people last week, I want to have things flow. I want to, you know, when we plan services, we plan for them to flow from the beginning to the end, for you to come in from get your picture taken outside with your mom to go back out. And it's just because it's more enjoyable that way. Well, life doesn't always go that way. And sometimes you just got to say yes to God and then let him lead you and not understand. There's been times in my life when I had no, all I knew was God was leading me this way or taking me this way. That's how I met Melanie. Some of you have heard the story before, but when we were at Oral Roberts University together, it was my second year of master's, her first year of master's, we walked into a class, and it's the one of the very few times that I'm telling you, I didn't hear God out here, but in my head, it was like a blaring trumpet, and I heard God say, there she is, when she walked in the room. Never met her before in my life. We sit down in class. They go around the room usually. And, you know, my name is Clint. I was born in Tennessee. My family lives in Macon. And you go through that. Keep in mind, all of my life, I was convinced I was God had sent me the perfect Georgia peach, the southern Georgia girl. We come down the road. And I remember I heard God say, that's her. Comes down to her, she said, hi, my name is Melanie Coots, and I was born in Hollywood, California, and I live in Santa Maria, California. I was just crushed. It's like, no, God, I can't, there's no way. Me, a southern Georgia boy raised in East Tennessee with a West Coast, sorry. No, God. But I had to make a decision. Okay, did I hear God or not? And I couldn't figure it out. And it was weeks later, I said, hey, let's go get some coffee. And then, to my surprise, she was like, yeah, okay. And I was standing there like, well, what do I do now? See, I didn't fully understand it, but I just had to say yes. See, Mary had tons of questions. And she really didn't even ask anymore. The Bible goes on in Luke 1, verse 38, and says, Mary just responded to the Lord's servant, to Gabriel, the angel, and says, may everything you said come true. The angel leaves. It's over, just like that. I'm sure after she was done, she's like, but wait, hey, let me ask some questions. You know, who's throwing the baby shower? Where are we going to live? Hey, do you realize we're not married yet? And they're going to think she had to deal with the world's opinions. She had to deal with her family. The Bible says that Joseph hid her away, but like, did they tell people where they were going? What do you tell your mom, your dad? You're really not going to believe this, but I'm pregnant, and it's not Joseph's. Well, who is it? God. I mean, can you imagine explaining that and the pressure of a 14-year-old who's just figuring out life anyway? You see, God's purpose for, I truly believe this, God's purpose for us can only be derailed by you. God created you on purpose for a purpose, and you're the only one that can stiff-arm God and keep him at bay, to keep him from helping you to get where you need to go. You see, even the disciples, they weren't the smartest bunch. Jesus didn't go find the biggest, the best, and the brightest. He found at the time what were considered really not good guys, like tax collectors, people that the society would say aren't great. But Mary would say to us, hey, you need to understand this. Your hope has to outweigh your questions. Mary's faith had to override all of the questions that we would all ask when life's about to change, when things didn't work. If you guys, I'm glad you can't right now, but if you could like plug a video cable into the side of my head and like see what I'm thinking, even as I'm speaking to you now, I am honestly sitting here thinking, why didn't that video work? Did I do something wrong? Must have been Monica. Monica had to do something wrong. Kara. It had to be Kara. I'm just trying to figure this out. You know, did we get the wrong computer? What? You see, but even then, I have to stand here and go, you know what, God, it doesn't matter. I don't know why that video didn't work, and I really felt like the video was going to encourage somebody, so I just, God's going to have to figure it out. God knew that was going to happen. You see, God's moments, there's these moments we have for God, and we just have to trust Him. The Bible says in Mark 5:36, that Jesus overheard these people. He had gone to pray for a leader's daughter, and they came and said, "Hey, she's already dead." And Jesus heard them saying, they were telling Jesus not to come, and the Bible says that Jesus said, "Hey, don't listen to them. Just trust me." But even now, while I sit here thinking, "What's going on? Why didn't this work? This is not right," Jesus is like, "Don't just trust me. I'll make it happen. I'll have those God moments." And I think Mary would tell us that when those God moments happen, they open the door for God's best. See, a lot of you are trying to do this yourself. You're trying to make the marriage work. You're trying to make your family work. You're trying to make the job work. And you're trying to do like me now, like analyzing in my head, why is this computer not working? What's going on? What do we need to do different? You're wired like me. You want to fix it. Anybody a fixer? Like, that was me. Even after the year after Melanie and I met, she was a dorm director, right? No. Head RA, that's what it was. She was the head RA over about a 6 or 8 story building. And so even after she was in her master's degree, she stayed in the residence halls, which meant at Oral Roberts, I couldn't go to her room. And so when she was sick, I was just miserable because I couldn't get to her. I wanted to help. I wanted to fix. I wanted to make it right. And so I would sit outside of her, literally, you can ask her, this is honest truth. I would sit outside of her dorm, like she had a cold or was flu or whatever, and go somewhere and buy like chicken noodle soup and wait for a girl to go by that I knew was in her building so she could take it to her. Why? Because did it really help her? I like to think she was moved because I was thinking about her, but really no. But it made me feel better because I felt like I was fixing something. See, I think when we understand that God's moments, these moments we have with God, and they could be just, I believe that when Mary, this is just my opinion, I can probably back it up, but my opinion, when Mary encountered the angel, this was not a big 20-minute conversation. This was the, "Mary, you're going to have a baby, good deal, I'm out." It was that quick. But that moment opened up for her the ability for her to change our eternity. And sometimes for you, you need to be able to focus when those moments hit and understand, I may not even understand why it's happening, but God, I'm going to say yes because I know in that yes, when my hope overrides the thousands of questions I have, that your best is going to be for me on the other side. Some of you just not to stop figuring out in your head. Just do what He asked you to do. Some of you have a step to take. Melanie talked today about water baptism next week. Water baptism is not about salvation. Water baptism is not about joining the church. You get baptized here, it doesn't make you a member of our church. Water baptism is for those who've made an inward confession, receiving of Jesus, to make an outward confession to everybody else and identify themselves with Jesus. And every time in the Bible that there were people who got saved, there was always water baptism. That may be your one step. You can go right now in the and do it next week. Your one step may be for the growth track. Maybe you've been sitting here and not jumped on a dream team you're not serving. You need to be. You need to take that step. Do you remember what Mary told everybody at the party, the wedding party, when Jesus turned water into wine? Look at this in John chapter 2, verse 5. Jesus had told her, now before we read this, understand, she looks at Jesus and says, "Hey Jesus, they're out of wine." And Jesus says something, and I personally think Mary backhanded him. Because if I would have said this to my mother, all 100 pounds of her little, my 5-foot mama would have spun my head around. If she said something to me like that, because I had the ability to do something about it, and I looked at her and said, "Woman, it's not my time yet," my mama would have knocked me out. Y'all remember LL Cool J? Anybody remember? Mama's gonna, come on. Some of you young people need to figure out with the music. So Jesus says, hey, this is not my time. And Mary looks at the servants around and says, whatever he tells you to do, just do it. And then Jesus has them fill the vats with water and they turn to wine. Some of us just need to do what the man tells you to do. We make it complicated. I don't know, should I do it, should I not do it? If Jesus said to do it, then I think that pretty much answers the question. So real quick, we're finishing the last lap. We're coming around the corner. What would Mary say before she goes back up into the stands? I think she would leave us with two quick things. The first thing is to stay connected with God. And the reason that we say this, the reason I put this in here, was because have you ever thought about Mary's life from the time that angel came to her and said, hey, you're going to have a baby. She had the baby. She had Jesus. She raised Jesus, the Bible says, until he was like 30. And then Jesus had 3 years when he was on the earth with the disciples doing everything he did. He then went and was he was tortured. He was put in a grave, and then he came back. And Mary stayed through all of this. Mary could have at any point, and all the stuff she went through, all the attacks that had come against her, could have just said, God, you know what? I'm out. I didn't sign up for this kind of heartbreak. But the Bible's very clear in John chapter 15, verse 5. It says that when you join with me, this is Jesus talking, and I with you, the harvest is sure to be abundant. In other words, stuff is going to happen. Look at the second part. But separate from me, and you can't do it. It's just not going to work. And I think Mary would tell us, you need to stay connected. Paul even writes in Timothy, 2 Timothy 1, that I know the same faith continues strong in you. He's talking about Timothy's grandmother. And then he says, this is why I remind you to fan into flames. And in other words, stay connected. If you disconnect, most people, I heard a stat this week, and I don't remember the exact numbers, but the statistic was talking about most people, before they ever turn their back on God, they turn their back on the church. They don't go straight to God, you know, and flip God off and say, forget you. But they disconnect from the body. They disconnect from their grow group. They disconnect from the youth group. They disconnect from serving. And then suddenly they find themselves disconnecting from God. The second thing I think she would tell us is keep your moments planted in your heart, not in your head. And this is what Mary actually did. Again, Mary could have easily turned from God. But how many of you knew this? And be honest, because I never really thought about this. And I have to give credit to Melanie for this, because I was talking about the message with her, and she actually said this, and it clicked. How many of you realize that Mary was in the upper room when the Bible says, Jesus sent the disciples, go to this room and wait for me, that after I'm going to be killed, I'm going to be resurrected, and I'll meet you in that room. How many of you realize that Mary was there? The Bible says that Jesus' mother was in the room with the disciples. And she stayed with it. The Bible says in Acts chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, that when they arrived, they went to the upstairs room, the house where they were all staying. They all met together, were constantly united in prayer, along with Mary, the mother of Jesus. She made it all the way to. The Bible says she was there when Jesus ascended into heaven. And she made it. My question to you is, can you make it? But if you keep Jesus and try to have a relationship with Jesus and with God in between your ears, it's just not going to work. Because you're going to get confused. You're not going to understand. I'm going to tell you, I had one of those moments yesterday when I got the phone call about my friend who got killed in Tennessee. It didn't make sense. But I've learned I can't follow God here. I have to follow God here. The Bible says of God that when you receive Jesus, that he puts the Holy Spirit down in your heart. And I think the reason Mary made it is because she did this. She let God into the deepest parts of her life. If you've been here before, you've heard me say this. This is the room, like at grandma's house with the plastic on the furniture. that you don't let people in. This is the room that we had at my house with my mom that growing up, we had the formal living room, and she would vacuum it like all the right angles the right way, and you didn't walk through there because that just ruined everything. See, some of us live that way with God. We don't let God in. Or we'll hide everything. Melanie and I joke that when people come to our house, we just hide everything in the closet. And that's what we do. Like, you can go anywhere you want to go, you just can't go to our closet because everything we own is in there. So a lot of us treat God that way. You can have anything you want, just stay out of my closet. But Mary said, no, you have to let him, you have to let him down into the deep parts of our lives. The Bible actually says this in Luke chapter 2, verse 19. Guys, you can go ahead and bring the lights. Look what it says about Mary. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The wise men had just come to her and said, hey, this angel came to us and told us about that you were having a baby and that our Lord and Savior was coming, and he told us all these things. And they were kind of bragging on God and bragging on Jesus. And the Bible says that Mary tucked them down deep in her heart. It goes on in the end of the verse, end of the chapter, it says, this is after Jesus is born. They go to the temple, and a prophet comes and says, this is the one we're talking about. And Jesus was, I think, 3 or 4 at this time. And the Bible says that Mary, his mother, treasured all these things in her heart. Some of you this morning need to stop with the heart, with the head issues, and let God into your heart. I'm truly convinced when you do that and you let God in your heart, the things that struggle in your mind, God begins to handle. And for Mother's Day, and I don't know, it's just today, for those of you who have lost your mothers, you are on my heart this morning. For those of you who maybe were separated from your other, or you know, don't have a good relationship, you are on my heart this morning. And my prayer is that God can begin to heal. I think a lot of us keep God at bay because our hurts, we don't want to get hurt again, so we keep God at bay. That this morning you would begin to let God into the heart and not try to figure him out in your head. If you would, you bow your head, close your eyes. I told you it's been a long morning. God, I thank you. God, I ask you for everybody within the sound of my voice, that they would understand that you came through Mary, but you were sent by God for me. And God, I don't try to figure it out here, but your word says if I believe it in my heart and I just say it, I confess it with my mouth, that you are who you say you are. You came, you died, buried, and resurrected for me. And now you're at the right hand of the Father. God, I receive that now. And I thank you for it. And we never end the service, we never end the service without offering people a chance to make that same decision. And the Bible's very clear. You believe it in your heart, you confess it with your mouth that Jesus is who he says he is. The Bible says salvation is yours. And I'm not going to call you up front. I'm not going to embarrass you. I ask you just to check the card in front of you and throw it in the offering at the end, because we want to send you something that says, hey, this is what you can do next. We want you to be able to celebrate that today Mary's decision to have that God moment changed your eternity forever, because she was willing to be used by God. And now today you can know Jesus. Amen. Amen. Why don't you stand with me if you would? We're going to sing one more song. We do this because I call it letting it settle. That you can, we'll worship just for a minute or two more, and you just kind of let what today's message meant to you, what God was saying to you, settle in your hearts. And before we go, I want to bless your tithe and your offering. We don't talk about it a lot here, but you guys are generous. You guys are givers. And we're able to do everything we do because of that, of your faithfulness to bring the tithe and your faithfulness to give an offering. You can do that on your way out. The ushers will be out there. Most of you, honestly, are doing it online through the app or online method. And just, I want to say thank you. But I'm going to bless us, and then we're going to sing one more song. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name for everybody that participates today in your giving. They bring their tithe, they give their offering. God, your word says that you'll give us more than enough to do everything we need to do. And today, Father God, we receive that. We bring our tithe in obedience, and we give an offering, Father God, just as a sign of how much we love you. And we thank you for being so good to us. God, we go today and celebrate moms and celebrate those who have influence into our lives, who have changed our lives forever. God, bring comfort where comfort is needed. Joy, Father God, in everyone's life, that today we celebrate those ladies again who have changed our lives forever. And we thank you for it now, Father. In Jesus' name, and everybody said,